Hello, everybody. We are back. I'm Tom Sosnoff. This is Truth or Skepticism. Dylan Radigan is with me. How are you, Dylan?
I'm very good. Nice to be seeing you. With this whole new relationship that we have, I get to hang around 4 days a week. So it's kind of become a bigger part of my life in a most pleasant way.
See?
So nice to see you.
See how wonderful that is?
Yeah, it's like mission creep in a good way.
Well, I've been crazy busy today. Not the markets so much, but I just did a webinar and I've got a lot of stuff going on. So I'm ready.
Okay. Well, I mean, I Josh, our intrepid producer, really had a strong opinion coming into this week, and it was related to the conversation du jour, I would say, or a subset of the conversation du jour, which is sort of futurism and artificial intelligence and the robot human interaction and merger and whatever, however you want to talk about it. Specifically, the news was the Neuralink test that they had a paralyzed individual, where they were able to use the Neuralink technology to empower the paralyzed individual to be able to play chess, I believe it was, using thought, basically, as opposed to using mechanical action. Does that sound like about right to you?
A little bit. Yeah, you're playing the right game. Yeah,
within one state or deviation. I mean, I'm on the fairway here.
Yeah.
So, and my understanding is that you thought that this was pretty great. This is pretty cool. This is pretty good. And that your thinking was that you should, because I know you're a big dog owner. I myself am a fan of the canine, and I know that in the canine world, it's very popular to chip your dog, right? That you put a little chip in the dog, and then they know things about the
sure,
dog, whatever.
Sure, sure. We can find the dog when he runs away.
Whose dog are you? Where do you live, dog?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, what, all the things. And that apparently, you were quoted on the trading floor at Tasty Trade. Declaring that you thought that all humans should be chipped.
Yes.
And that a human chipping would be a great asset to humanity and to humans.
Very.
And I'd like to hear about this before I offer any comment, if you don't mind.
Well, I mean, this is probably going to be the most unpopular position I've ever taken in the history of this network, and
which is why you pay Josh to take your emails so that you are protected from whatever's about to happen later.
I mean, this is exactly this is why I think this will be easily the most unpopular truth or skepticism segment we've ever done, and probably the most unpopular.
Oh, no, remember, you did defend Nancy Pelosi. This might be your second, at least, other than defending Nancy Pelosi's trading behavior.
First of all, I don't defend any politician. I defended any politician trading. Okay. The idea, I just want to be very clear about this. The idea that any politician knows anything about what's going to happen next in the stock market is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I would take, as Jacob did a piece this morning on the blindfolded dart throwing monkey, I would take a blindfolded, I don't even know why the monkey has to be blindfolded. That was my whole point. But I would take a dart-throwing monkey over any politician, no matter what they knew about anything, over what's going to happen next in the stock market. So it's the most ridiculous argument in the world. That's for a different...
So do you know when I was at CNBC, I actually hired a monkey?
I believe it.
And had the monkey without a blindfold or a dart, mind you, but just as a monkey... Had him or her, I can't remember the gender of the fine animal, but I did have the monkey pick some stocks. And I would say that you could use a monkey without darts or blindfolds,
yeah,
and still get a better result. But anyway, yeah. We've gone from one rabbit hole into the next.
No, I understand. I was just defending my position. It wasn't a Nancy Pelosi position. It was a position.
And again, I stand corrected. I wouldn't want to be thought of as someone who manipulates or selectively mischaracterizes
right.
commentary. In a way that then subjects you to unnecessary inbound right. for something you never right. said.
This has nothing to do with a specific politician. This could be anybody in any party. I'd rather take the dart throwing monkey than any politician, whatever they thought about anything, no matter what they knew. Even if you gave them material non-public information, they still couldn't get it right.
Okay.
But anyway.
Now let's get to the chipping sure. of the people.
So the chipping thing is going to be actually even more of a hated response than anything else, because everybody is all up in arms about, you know, their privacy, because they believe that, you know, their privacy is being invaded and they're blah, blah, blah. And if they're chipped, blah, 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 all this other stuff.
Well, you're going to hear some things. Yeah, please.
I just don't think anybody understands that. I don't think we've really sat down and thought about the advantages and all the amazing things that can happen. And I don't think it should be virtual. Like, I don't think it should be on a headset. I don't think it should be on a wristwatch. I don't think it should be, I think that that actually to me is a little bit kind of like too obvious and too forced. Like, I don't think you should have to wear a watch or have to wear a headset or have to wear something, you know, or have your car, you know, look at your face all the time, or your work computer look at your face and decide all this stuff. Or, you know, when you go through an airport or all that kind of stuff. That's the easy way around it. The simplest thing is, let's just chip everybody. Now, in the process of chipping, you know, everybody else, we basically solve every problem in the world.
What's on your list? Give me your three biggest problems to get solved.
Everything. We solve everything.
Give me your big three. I know, but let's itemize a little, shall we?
We essentially, healthcare, the economy, which is like work, risk, fraud, theft, identity, like every single thing.
Speeding. We solve for speeding.
We solve for everything. It's everything's done. Basically.
So basically all crime is gone.
Everything. You can't commit a crime anymore because we know who you are.
You can't even go speeding. No jaywalking, no speeding, nothing.
Can't do anything. I mean, you can do anything you want, but we just know what you're doing.
Just on the security factor.
The fraud, the whole aspect of fraud, lying, fraud, healthcare.
Identity theft, all that.
Working. I've got 40%, what is it? It's Wednesday. Got 40% of our office today working from home. I don't know what they're doing. My guess is
They're
not working, right.
They probably took mushrooms or something. This whole microdosing thing is taking
off. No, they're out playing pickleball or having lunch, you know, drinking a martini. I don't know what they're doing. They're not all working.
I'll tell you right now, they're not working.
Yeah. There is the level of productivity is going to go through the moon. We're going, can you imagine the level of just, you know how much money is lost to the economy in like theft and fraud and everything else? Everything goes out. There's no, basically we've to a certain extent eliminated all crime. Everything.
Yep. Okay. So, but
how's it bad? Everybody freaks out over it. How's it bad?
These are big things that you're saying. I just want to slow it down a little bit, if you don't mind. Take a proper inventory. It's a long podcast. We have the time. So we're going to chip everybody.
Yeah. Just
everybody's
like dogs don't care if we chip them. They're like, okay, sure. Chip me. I don't care.
Exactly. Chip it up. Chip away. Yeah. So then for sure you solve all crime, all identity theft, all fraud.
All immigration issues.
A preponderance, right, of immigration.
Everybody's crazy about immigration. It's done. Solved. I solved it. Overnight.
Solved. Next. And then productivity goes through the roof because of the monitoring of the workforce. And healthcare.
Everybody, if you're not healthy, we know it in advance. We save so much money. We cut insurance costs by, not only do people, the quality of life is going to go up by a crazy, it's exponentially, because your healthcare problems are going to be determined early on. So we're going to do everything we can to be preventative. we're gonna know way before, you know, it's just, we're gonna extend lives.
But there's even more than that. There's even more. So I was yes to all of that. Okay. Yes to all of that.
Okay.
Plus think about how much it helps like international travel. Because like you just scan the whole room, you scan the chips and you know, okay, come on in. Like all the passport lines go away. Like, you know, you have to wait for 3 hours when you try to come back into the country. That's over.
There's nothing. You don't have to do a single thing. You just walk right through. Everything's done.
Yeah.
It's like you're walking in an Amazon store, picking out your groceries, and you just walk right out. You're done. Charged.
Or it's like the tollless. Where there's no tolls on the highway. You just drive right.
Nothing. No tolls. No cashiers anymore. Nothing. Whatever you grab, it's all done.
If you're speeding, boom, automatic speeding ticket. No question.
Done.
You just hit your boom, bing.
Done.
Transfer of funds. Like if I want to buy your house.
Done.
Does Dylan own this house? Chip says it's his house. Does Tom have money? Tom's got the money. Boom, chip it away. We can do that whole thing in 5 minutes.
Now, anyway, okay, everybody freaks out about this because everybody's like,
oh my God,
you know, you're...
No, we'll get there. We'll get there. There's still other good things to
do. This has solved every problem in the world. No more wars, nothing. Nothing's ever... It's everything. Every problem in the whole world solved. But
on the other hand, if you want to commit like a genocide, you know exactly who to kill. Like, it's easy to make sure that you only kill the people you want to kill.
Well, not everybody has access to all this information.
Well, no, we're going to... you can see where this is going to end up. But before we get to the very small issue with all of this, which we'll come back to in a second, the other thing that we're leaving out is, like, massive liberation and empowerment to those who have physical disability.
Sure.
No, this is not just about tracking and transactions and security and this and this and this. This is about taking people who are incapable of communicating in any way, shape, or form and allowing them to communicate. This is about empowering a lot. There's a tremendous amount of physical enhancement that's available
here. Just think, from a medical side, just think of everything we're going to learn that we have no idea about certain
patterns.
Yeah, everything.
The pattern analysis where it's like, oh, if you want a tasty trade.
We're going to solve every problem. It's going to be incredible.
It's going to be incredible.
Yep.
I'm full agreement. I just have a couple of issues.
Minor things like genocide. What else you got?
And a couple issues that I just haven't been able to get my head around. I'm hopeful you can, because I like this. I want this. I love a world with no crime. I love all
that. Okay. What do you got? What's your problem?
Love the ease of transaction. Love the transportational, communicational. Yeah. Love it all. I'm good for it. Yeah. Just got a couple of issues.
Yeah, go ahead. What is it?
So the primary issue I would ask would be, very simply, who decides?
Who decides what?
Who decides who gets access to the chipping data? Who decides who can establish the bylaws and contingencies for the access and utilization of the chipping data? And who decides and what prevents a bad actor or AI from deciding that, oh, I'm going to go to every person of some gender, race, creed, or persuasion, and I'm going to stick a bumblebee drone up their nose and blow their heads off because I don't like them. Or just that's the most extreme example, but just the basic control. Like if you would like to have because you have the chip, you must work as a short order cook, because we've decided in the Orwellian world that people with your genetic profile and pedigree are best for cooking, even though you might want to be a ballet dancer, or you might want to be, a sculptor. But there's a point where you might be able to, the contingency of the chipping might be utilized to restrict personal freedoms. Or for instance, if I wanted to influence political opinions, I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to cut you outside of the chip network. It's sort of like the test was the COVID super pass. If you want to go to the restaurant, you got to have the QR code. If you want to leave the country, you got to have the QR code. So the idea that the chipping also allows allows a substantial amount of gatekeeping. I mean, the most scandalous expression was the Canadian government's accessing of the truckers' bank accounts because they participated in a protest. And so there's, it would seem that the ability to do aggressive population control or even population elimination is massively enhanced by virtue of this new system.
I can already see, based on the emails that are coming in, Tom, are you crazy? Tom, you are literally out of your mind. Are you insane? Which is what I thought I'd be getting. But the reality is I'm giving the extreme example, but and all of it can be tweaked.
Well, both of us are dealing in extremes, but of course, how do you address the control? The primary issue is control and influence over the population.
You're always going to have, there's always going to be a little, as the Dr. Jim would say, there's always, for every gimme, there's a gotcha. And there's always going to be a few little downsides to everything. But I mean, when you talk about, you know, the benefits to society, I think it's, you know, I have a hard time.
But the only way that I can imagine coming to that conclusion is because you believe that the probability or the risk of control and influence in the population is not that high. Now, I want to give you an example because I'm a New York State resident, even though if I'm not in New York State as often as I was once was. I am a legal resident of New York State, which just gives me visibility to the New York State tax code. And as such, during Donald Trump's presidency, he specifically passed a tax law that was directly intended to elevate the tax rate for any state that did not vote for him, and reduce the tax rate for any state that did vote for him. So if you live in Illinois, your taxes went up. If you live in California, your taxes went up. If you live in New York, your taxes went up, et cetera, et cetera. But if you don't, if you lived in a state that voted for Donald Trump, then he reduced your taxes. And so what is to stop a political leader from using the chip to as a way to punish or reward those who vote for them, for instance?
Well, that obviously didn't work because he lost the election. So obviously
my taxes are still higher than they were. You're evading the question.
No, I'm not evading the question because I think
let's not be evasive.
No, I just don't think here. I can give you an example of why I think this thing would be here because everybody's has so many questions.
Again, I don't need to hear why it could be good. We can all see why it could be good. I agree with you, it could be good. I would like to understand how you mitigate why it might be bad.
Well, I mean, it's something here's my example of how to start off with this. Just let me tell you.
Okay.
So I've been thinking about this. So the way you start off with this is you started off with your pet because your pet's already chipped. Everybody chips their pet. They have no problem. Nobody in the world, everybody loves their pets. The reason you chip your pet is because you love your pet. Right? That's why people chip their pet. Because I don't, if he or she gets lost.
Often it happens to little Spot, you want to be able to get Spot back.
It's right. Spot runs away, you want to be able to get Spot back. So we put a chip in Spot. And the chip basically is very rudimentary. All it does is if somebody brings that Spot to the vet, then the vet just, you know.
Scan him he can scan him like a bag of potatoes.
Yeah, and they figure out, okay, this person owns this, and we call them up, blah, blah, blah. But what if we put a more advanced chip in Spot? And the advanced chip basically said, you know, you can look at your phone anytime during the day and you can tell you exactly where Spot is. All right. And not only that, you can see, you know, what Spot's temperature is, or you can see when they last ate, or you can see, you know, exactly how active they've been, how many steps they've taken during the day, or how many hours they've slept, or if Spot's getting sick, or if there's something wrong, or when their next shot is due, and everything you ever wanted to know about that particular dog or that particular pet you have in your fingertips on your phone. And you'd be like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. You wouldn't sit there for 1 second and say, what if Spot and all of Spot's little friends in the neighborhood decided to gang up and kill me? like, you know, what is Spot and his friends thinking? Like that kind of thing. Like that's not what, or what if somebody programmed Spot and all his friends to kill me? That's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is you're going to look at it, you're going to go, oh my God, this is actually incredible. I know everything. And then the next step logically is, you know, kids. You're going to say, I mean, what do parents worry about the most? Hey, where's my kid? It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are at? You know, no, I don't know. I really would like to know.
No, but you do know because everybody's got their kid tracker on their phones now.
Well, whatever. That's not good enough. And okay. But you can learn a lot more. Hey, you know what? I want to know if my kid's sick or if they're how they're doing. And there's lots of things. You know, where do they? How are they rank? How are they learning? How are they ranking? How are they progressing? How are they growing? You know, blah blah blah. All this kind of stuff. You'd be like, oh. This is actually pretty cool. Plus, it's got all the reminders and everything on there. And you'll be like, oh, wow, this is actually pretty amazing. You know, how active are they? Blah, blah, blah. How much time they spend studying? All this kind of stuff. And, I mean, is it a lifestyle change? Of course. Massive. Does it have risks? Yeah, of course. And are you going to have 99% of the population go, I'm not doing this. Don't chip me. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I own my body. Whatever. You know.
So can I respond?
My body, my decision. unless it's abortion related, but my body, my decision. So the whole point here is I know it's radical. I understand it's way out there, but we already do it.
But you can't just use your example of your dogs and your children.
But we already do it for cars. We already do it for insurance. We already do it for lots of different things.
May I speak?
Yes.
I feel like you're a little bit insecure about your position because you're trying to filibuster here.
I'm not insecure. I know it's not going to be widely accepted.
If you're not insecure, then you'll have no issue addressing some of my very modest but potentially rational concerns.
Okay.
So spot, legally, is property.
Okay.
Spot's not a sovereign entity. Spot is a property of another individual.
Yes.
Title. They pay money. They all these things. Spot has legal protections as property, but still property. Children, until they're 18, are not property, but they are subordinate and under the cut. They are in custody,
okay,
if you will. And so it makes sense, like with if I know who owns the dog, because it's property, the dog owner has the right to do what they want with that property within reason, because there are rules associated with abuse of animals and whatnot. If a child is within custody, a parent can do whatever they may so desire with that child, again, within reason, as there are rules having to do with abuse of children and all the rest of this.
Sure.
So, but for an adult, for myself, for instance, whose property am I at the moment that I've like, because in order for the chip to function, the chip has to be the property of some superior force, be it the dog owner, the parent, like someone above me with more authority than I needs to have the discretion. So you could say, well, I'm the property of the United States of America because I have a United States passport and I have tax obligations in the United States and I have, and I'm obliged to comply with the legal statutes of the United States. And so on some level, you could argue I am the property of the United States. However, that is a very gray area in terms of, you know, where that begins and ends. And so I guess I'm just curious who decides? So I know who decides whether, like, I can't go to your dog and chip your dog with my chip. Because you'd say, hang on, that's my dog, Radigan. Why are you chipping my dog? Get out of here, buddy.
Yeah.
I can't chip your children. You can chip your children.
Sure.
Even if it's with a watch or whatever.
Sure.
Who has the authority to decide who gets chipped if you're not a child or a dog?
But well, I mean, adult, the problem is it can't be a partial thing. It has to be everybody.
And so that would be a government decision then.
Yeah, sure.
The federal government would decide, much like I have to pay taxes or I need to have a passport,
sure,
or I need to comply with federal statutes as it relates to criminal behavior and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That if I want to be a member of the United States, I must be chipped. So basically you're saying the government should have the authority to chip all the people. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. And I could just hear 1 million tasty traders' heads explode all at the same. I respect you for even attempting to hold this position. But anyway, so the government holds the authority to decide to mandate universal chipping. And then if and the government then would decide how to use those chips and regulate those chips. Fair?
Yeah.
And
it's gonna for
what about what wherefore art thou civil liberties? Like where what are the rules? So if the US government says all US citizens, any US passport holder, if you have a US passport, you gotta be chipped. If you want to enter the United States on a foreign passport, you got to be chipped.
Yeah.
You can't come into the United States of America without being chipped either.
I mean, you have to look at what you're trading. It's everything's a trade-off. It's just, it's no different than the markets. Everything's a trade-off. I mean, what price would you pay to know that your kids are always going to be safe? You know, what price would you pay knowing your kids never have to go to war? Never have to, they're going to be safe. They're not going to be kidnapped. They're not going to be, you're going to know if they're sick, exactly what's wrong with them. I mean, what price would you pay for all this stuff? What price would you pay to have multiples of the wealth that you have today just because of all the money that you get to save, you know, just because of all the reduction, because of all the efficiency we add to the system? Let's say to your taxes go from 40% to 20% over a lifetime. Let's say that your, you know, a lot of your expenses go down by at least 30%. So, you know, at what price for the quality of life to have 10x the amount of wealth and to be healthier with 10x the amount of wealth and no worries, you know, basically crime gets.
But I just want to be clear because I'm perplexed. So you're suggesting that you would be willing to recommend or advocate for, in fact, you are advocating for and you are recommending an empowerment of the US government with total unilateral authority to dictate everything.
Not everything, but you would.
No, I'm not saying that they will have the power to dictate everything. Which, what, can you leave your house? No, you cannot. Your chip has been turned off. You're no longer allowed to leave your house. If you leave your house with a bad chip, we'll call the cops, whatever. There'll be an intervention. That doesn't matter.
I mean, you're talking about.
Because it's easy to see the fantastical benefits of universal chippage.
Sure.
That is not in dispute. Much like.
It sounds like it is, Mr. Radigan. It sounds like it is in dispute.
No, it's not. I think you're trying to hold the conversation around the merits of the advantages, which is a manipulative tactic in a debate, but it will not work because the issue that's not being addressed is not, are there massive benefits to universal chippage? Clearly there would be. The issue is that there are even larger costs than the size of the costs in your Dr. Jim gimme gotcha or whatever it is, get you.
Well, that's what we have to debate. That's actually
the debate. It's clearly 1 million times. It's 1 million to 1 on the downside.
Okay. Well, that is the whole debate in my mind. See, the people get all hung up on the debate with this kind of technology and the whole Neuralink discussion. People get all hung up on, is it good or bad? That kind of thing. That's not the debate. It's not about, is it good or bad? It's about, is it worth the trade-off? And that is the debate. Now, for you and for other people that are 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, everybody in this country, 999 out of 1,000 people are going to say, no, this is idiotic, okay? Because forget it. I'm not giving up my freedom, my civil liberties, blah, blah, blah.
I'm not even going with the full, like, you know, don't tread on me vibe. I'm saying I don't believe it is good for society to assign unilateral authority to the government for what any human being can do.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be that dramatic. There's unilateral authority. What it is just basically a monitoring tool. But I'm going to go back. But for everybody,
tool provides unilateral authority. Anyway, go ahead.
This is a generation. This is, we would be starting with a new generation, like newborns, and they wouldn't know any different. And everybody would, this is just how, you know, we would cull the herd as they get older. And the next generation and the next generation after that, it'll become second nature. But society goes on. We're going to kill ourselves the way we are right now. We're through wars, through just nutcases running governments, and who knows what's going to happen. You know, I mean, there's just so many issues, and we can solve everything. We can solve everything.
And so the question is, I mean, so this is sort of the ultimate, like, this is like the ultimate parlor game.
I'm saving society here, and you're poo-pooing it.
If you had, this is like one of those things, right? If you had the ability to save society, would you be willing to destroy society?
I don't know. Are you really destroying society?
100%.
I don't think so.
Sure as you're saving it.
I think you might prolong society for generations, because you're going to make the world a safer place. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody. I think people haven't thought through this.
Safer for who? Safer for who? Safer for those who are politically favored.
I think you're pushing.
But for those who are politically unfavored, they will never be more at risk than when they're chipped and in the crosshairs of a adverse government. I mean, listen. I'm not as against this. I would like to. So let me tell you a thought I had. Okay, because I lived in New York for a long time, many years ago, and I still spent a lot of time in New York. In the sort of decade or so in New York before September 11th, there was no sense of surveillance in New York City, or very little, right?
None.
There was NYPD existed, but there was
none.
There were not cameras on every corner.
Right.
There were not roving trucks that are scanning for scattered radiation. I mean, New York City is one of the most surveilled locations on Earth. And it has been ever since September 11th. And with the advance of the technology, it's never been more surveilled. And so I was walking around, as I've spent the last 10 days in the city, and just was sort of noticing as I walked around, there's cameras everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And I'm not talking about cameras inside of Whole Foods or cameras inside of some clothing store or some deli or something. I mean, city cameras. On the traffic lights, on the light poles, everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. I'm sure Chicago also is absolutely covered in cameras. London did it long before America did it. In Milan, cameras everywhere. Camera, okay. Camera.
What's your point?
And at the time, I was like, you can't put cameras all over the city. It's crazy. There's an invasion of privacy. We can't be walking around having.
Does anybody say that anymore?
And now what, do they put facial recognition on the camera?
Right.
They're going to know what you did.
Does anybody say that anymore?
And no one says anything anymore, including my, and my exact thought, I had this very thought. I was walking, I said, you know, a younger version of myself was horrified at the thought of covering the city in cameras.
Of course.
And now I'm basically indifferent, and if anything, mildly comforted by the fact that there are cameras everywhere.
Exactly. They eliminate crime, because they make you feel safe, because it's just...
Agreed.
Okay.
I agree with you. No, this is a genuine exploration, okay?
Yeah.
But it's also an exploration of the boiling of the frog, the slipperiness of the slope, if you will. And so, okay, so now I'm comfortable with cameras everywhere. And let's be quite honest, we're all become comfortable with the fact that our phones listen to everything we say, report our location on a constant basis. Our credit cards report every transaction that we do. So we've already, the no privacy noose has already tightened by 95% over the last 5, 10, 15 years without a whisper from the population.
When was the last time you went to an international airport? Every international terminal now, just look into the thing. They know who you are. It's done. You don't even need anything. No ID, no tickets.
As you know, I'm a part-time Italian, all the time. This is my,
yeah.
I get all the eye scan, and I even registered for Clear or whatever the thing is called.
Yeah.
Where even when you check in, you just got to stick your eyes in the machine. It goes bing, bang, boom. It
says, you have no issue with that all of a sudden.
I'm agreeing with you.
That's it. We're a couple steps away.
So, So we're, and also the other thing with the immigration thing is they do the fingerprints, right? They take your eyes and your fingers.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
And you're in. So basically, the only distinction between, let's say, the retina scan, I'll use the retina scan as the most invasive, right? Is the retina scan, is not a constant event in my life. The retina scan happens at intervals when I want to change countries, when I want to move or do something. So if America doesn't want me to come into America because there's some APB for me for some reason, they're like, they can pick me up at the airport, no problem, right? Or anybody they want, right? Or if there's a foreigner, all those things. When you move to the chipping, you've eliminated the last island of privacy. It's sort of like, you know how the Maldives are sinking into the ocean? You read that global warming, or Miami is sinking into the ocean. New York is sinking into the ocean. The ocean is the end of privacy. And I think you make a very good, important point, which is that there's a huge generational gap between, between the 20, anybody over 25 and under 25, where the under 25 crowd doesn't even have a concept of a world without, a world with more privacy. Their parents monitor them their entire time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the reason that they use the metaphor of the boiling of the frog at a slow temperature is because the frog, were you to raise the water temperature rapidly, would have enough awareness to leave the pot. But if you warm the pot very slowly, first a little camera, then a little iPhone microphone to listen, then a little retina scan on your way to Greece, go have yourself some fish. Next thing you know, you're chipped and there's a bumblebee drone up your nose. And the frog is cooked. And my concern is that if we do not protect the last island of privacy, that all humanity will become nothing more than the property of the government. And I believe that making human beings, taking them from being sovereigns with free will and free decisions and free discussions and free creativity, and instead converting them to the property of federal government, will be the single most destructive thing in the history of the world to all creativity, to all self-expression, to all interaction, to love, to any essence of the human spirit.
The most ridiculous thing I ever heard. It's just as you push, you are so...
No. Don't you... No adjectives. Tell me why I'm wrong without adjectives.
Because...
Don't do an ad hominem and tell me I'm ridiculous. No. I'm telling you, I'm concerned that we're about to eliminate this, for all of its benefits, and I don't contest a single one you've asserted, will extinguish the flame of the human spirit once and for all and leave us as nothing more than government drones.
That's absolutely ridiculous. It doesn't change one thing.
There'll be no tasty trade.
Oh my God, it doesn't.
Because JP Morgan would lobby the government and they would hit you and Scott Sheridan's chip and be like, you know what? Nope.
That's not how it works.
No more brokers. No, we are the broker.
Nope. That's not how it works. In fact, if anything, it will create more competition because it will level the playing field and eliminate the so many aspects of fraud. But what's more important is it doesn't change any of the individualism. It doesn't change any of the creativity. It doesn't change any of that. All it does is improve the quality of life by some crazy multiple that we can't even fathom right now. You make more money, you're healthier, you have a improved quality of life that nobody's willing to accept. It improves everybody's existence. We only have a short period of time on this earth. By the time we get out of college, to the time that we can't work anymore, or do whatever, you got maybe 40, 50 years, okay, for most people. Some people have 20 or 30 years. I'm counting 40 or 50 years, okay? In that period of time, that 40 or 50 year span, you can only do so much. What if I told you we can improve that 40 or 50 year span that you have by 300 to 3,000 or 4,000%, your quality of life? How would anybody in their right mind say no to that just because you're worried about what somebody's going to know what you're doing? Please.
That's not what I'm worried about.
I know what you're worried about is the stuff that doesn't matter. That's the stuff nobody cares about.
Yeah. Oh, the extinguishing of the human spirit.
You're not going to extinguish. How do you extinguish the human spirit?
By taking total control of all humanity. And
how do you do that?
By putting chips inside of them that empower you to decide what they can and cannot
do. That's not what these chips do. That's not what the chips do.
Which brings me back to my very first question. Who decides what the chips do? Who decides?
Well, that's pretty easy, I think, to decide what the chips do.
Who decides? Who decides the power of the chip? Do I get to decide what my chip does?
Or sure.
Does the government decide?
No, you can decide the power of your chip.
Or does my employer decide?
You can decide.
So if I don't want my employer to have access to my chip,
then I
can opt out.
Well, then they'll fire you. Some employers will keep you.
Right. Okay.
But that's the whole reason. I want to know if you're...
But the point is coercion. It is a disingenuous offer to say that you decide whether it's the U.S. government that says it or an employer that says it or the state of Illinois
that says it. Go find another job that pays $1 million a year a la Stevie Cohen.
Go find another country that you can live in.
That's right.
Doesn't require. Go find another city that doesn't have. I mean, it is a preposterous assertion, and it, despite all the fabulous futuristic benefits you speak to,
You're going to have to give up something to get something.
But I'm not going to give up everything. But I'm not. What you're talking about is not giving up something. You're talking about giving up everything.
No, I'm talking about giving up something very small, and in return for a quality of life that could be 10x better. I think everybody, if they knew what it was, they would opt for it. Listen, here, my example, the best example I can give you, I'm going to go back to my dog example. If you have an opportunity...
So you believe humans are property, just to be clear.
If you have an opportunity to improve Spot's life by 10x, every single dog owner, and most dog owners love their dog more than their spouse. You agree with me?
More than their parents?
Most dog owners love their dog more than their spouse. Maybe their kids are close to a par, but that's about it. Forget the spouse.
Kids would be the only thing that comes close.
Only thing that comes close is kids. Nothing else matters. So the dog is important. And most owners, if they can extend that dog's life and improve that quality of life by up to 10x, every single person is going to do it. But all of a sudden, you're telling me, okay, that we don't want to do it when it comes to us or our kids or whatever it is. That's ridiculous.
And I just want, for your benefit, to sort of give you an opportunity to stop talking because it's not going to be pleasant for you. For a few multiple reasons, but the most obvious of which is that human beings are not dogs.
Yeah, but I just showed you that most people like their dogs better than their spouses. So
human beings are not property.
I just saw a text that came back and said, don't worry about what Tom says. He has dementia, so he doesn't know. All right. Well, we've run out of time.
I mean,
a little bit of this, I took the devil's advocate role.
Let me give you 60 seconds of a compromise.
Okay.
Unilateral chipping is off the table. The downside is catastrophic. We can't even talk about it. Discretionary individualized chipping, if you would like to chip yourself such that you would feel like you're going to have better healthcare data, you're going to have better fitness data. And then if you want to sync your chip to some network that gives you benefits, and like you want to reduce your health insurance because you've chipped yourself.
Yeah, that's the first step. That's the first step. I understand that.
But now we're boiling the frog here. again.
Yeah, I know. Now, that's the first step. I agree with that. That's the first step. I would opt for that in a second. But the next step is, you know, universal, because that way we basically eliminate crime and fraud and everything else.
And the transaction, the transactionality would be sensational.
Sensational.
I mean, it would make the blockchain look like a wieldy and inefficient beast, even though I actually think the blockchain is a wieldy and inefficient beast. But there would be no greater mechanism of transaction than just chip to chip.
High five and
happen.
High five and we're filled.
No, never again. This is not going to happen. There's no way to mitigate the catastrophic downside. Think about how people went insane with the social credit score in China. Anyway, I am confident in your intellect that you know how preposterous this is.
I think it's a discussion that had to be had.
I don't disagree. And I think it's important that you now understand why you're wrong.
I'm Tom Sosnoff. He's Dylan Radigan. This is Truth or Skepticism. And hopefully we'll see you next Wednesday.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc., and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live, Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live, Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered